I want to start out with this. I felt like the Lord was speaking to me as I was driving down the road this week, and this is sort of not exactly the topic of the message this morning, but it'll tie in. But I thought, you know, have you ever wondered sometimes we wonder why things aren't working out for us? Has anybody ever felt that way? Like why is it that, you know, maybe it's finances or relationships or, you know, health or something, you know? And by any means, I'm not pretending to have all the answers to that. I don't think anybody does. Only God knows. But we just wonder, like, Lord, why are my prayers not being answered? And I found that often there can be a block in our lives, in finances, in relationships, in health, based on unforgiveness. And I felt like the Lord was speaking to me, and he wanted me to just, like, keep this in the forefront, okay? Keep this in the forefront of your daily life, the importance of he has forgiven us everything, right? So then can't we also turn around and release that to others in our lives? And so you say, well, who do I need to forgive? Well, are you breathing? I mean, if you're breathing, if you're sucking air, you probably need to forgive somebody. In other words, life is such a nature that it's almost impossible on a daily basis. It could be the guy who cut you off on the interstate. I mean, and that sounds kind of trite or sort of maybe insignificant. But here's one thing I've realized. When it comes to unforgiveness, there is no insignificance. Maybe it's your spouse or your, you know, whatever. I just want to ask you this morning, because I even realize sometimes even I think in our finances, that's a strange thought to me. I never made a connection there, but it makes sense that if there is a flow from heaven to earth, right? We like to talk about that. Jesus taught us clearly that there are some things that can clog that flow. I don't think it's not a condemnation. It's not like a complete block. But it can clog. It can sort of hinder. So let me just ask you this morning, like, who do you need to forgive today? All right. So whoever popped up, I'm not going to ask you to mention their name publicly, but I just want to pray a prayer right now. And let's just do this. And I want to ask you to kind of make this an exercise in your life on a daily basis. I've been doing this recently, like, Lord, all right, who is it? Sometimes I notice the Holy Spirit brings up into my heart someone who is completely off the radar. Could have been from 10 years ago. Could have been from that earlier that day. I mean, just let God guide you. Don't go digging. Just let God guide you, okay? So here we go. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, why don't you just pray this after me? Holy Spirit, thank you that you are a good God. Thank you, Jesus, that you sacrificed your life so that I might live. Thank you, you've forgiven me for all of my sins. So today, just like you taught me to pray, I release those who have sinned against me. And I choose to forgive. You can fill in the blank in your own heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Feels good, doesn't it? There's just freedom in forgiveness. I don't care what it is. Doesn't mean that in extreme situations, what was done to you is okay. That's not what forgiveness is. You know, I don't think when Jesus forgave when he was hung on the cross that he was saying, it's okay what you're doing. No, his prayer was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And I've found that oftentimes, probably if people actually knew what they were actually doing and how it hurt someone, they probably wouldn't have done it, you know? So, all right. It does tie in. Actually, Chris, you really hit it on the money when you were talking about that verse in Hebrews, because what the Lord put on my heart is spiritual authority. Isn't that interesting? And unforgiveness ties into that. But last week, I was talking about Revelation. And did anybody notice like an increase in revelation in your life this week? I hope you did. If not, keep looking for that, because I'm telling you, there's like a, I don't know. Sometimes there's just these fresh fountains of different spiritual things that seem to be a little more open than at other times, if you know what I'm saying. And I feel like revelation is that way right now. So just open the Word, allow the Father to keep speaking to you, fresh revelation that transforms. Remember that? That was the title. Revelation that transforms. And I was like, have you ever wondered how, okay, Lord, what is the real key for spiritual authority, like real kingdom authority in my life? Like you read a passage like what we're going to read in Luke 10 about the 70 being sent out, which sometimes are referred to as the little old me's, you know, of the world. In other words, when Jesus sent out the 12, like, okay, well, it's the big 12. You know, it's the apostles. It's, you know, some denominations or the Catholics call them the saints, right? So there's something sort of unreachable about that, even though that's not really true, but it can tend to feel that way. But for the 70, it's like, well, who were they? I mean, they weren't the chosen 12. They were just, look at your neighbor. They were the little old me's. They were the people, just the average church people, those who were hanging around with Jesus. But there came this time where Jesus turned to them and said, here, the authority that I have, I'm lending it to you right now. Go out there and do the stuff. How many people would have liked to have been in that crowd? I mean, that's like, you know, students like to do evangelism on campus. This is like the best evangelism outreach you could ever imagine. I mean, the very Son of God is like, here, take a piece of my authority and go out. Like, wow. So I realized this week, speaking of revelation, that there's some big keys that Jesus gave us on how to access the flow of spiritual authority in our lives. In the case of the 70, it was about doing kingdom stuff and ministry of the kingdom for other people. But it's not just limited to that. It's like, how do I keep the flow of authority going in my life? So that's kind of what I'm going after here. And I'm probably going to be brief this morning. So, famous last words, right? Luke 10:21. Click there or open there. I'm in the Passion Translation this morning. Some pretty cool stuff. It says, then Jesus, and this is around the time that he sent the 70 out. I think it's right when they returned. Overflowing. Everybody say overflowing.
Overflowing.
Overflowing with what? Overflowing with the Holy Spirit's anointing of joy. Exclaim. How many people know there's an anointing of joy?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever had that?
Yeah.
I have a feeling a few people have. In other words, it's not human joy. It's supernatural joy. This came on Jesus. Isn't that cool? And he exclaimed, like, if you can hear him laugh, I'm not going to try to laugh and make this statement, but he's laughing as he's staying this, almost in this euphoria of what we might call, you know, Holy Ghost drunkenness or something. Father, thank you, for you are the Lord supreme over heaven and earth. You have hidden the great revelation of this authority from those who are proud, those wise in their own eyes, and you have shared it with those who humbled themselves. Yes, Father, this is what pleases your heart and the very way you've chosen to extend your kingdom, to give to those who become like trusting children. So this was right after the 70 had returned, and they were all pumped up. Like, you wouldn't believe it, Jesus. He's like, yeah, I would. In fact, I saw Satan fall like lightning while you guys were out there doing this kingdom stuff, exercising this authority. And so then a couple verses down, verse 23, it says, when Jesus was alone with the 12, he said to them, you are very privileged to see and hear all these things. Many kings and prophets of old long to see these days of miracles that you've been favored to see. They would have given everything to hear the revelation you've been favored to hear. Yet they didn't get to see as much as a glimpse or even a whisper. You know, revelation is great, but without power, it only serves to make me more religious in exalting my intellect. Paul said, knowledge puffs up, right? However, revelation combined with power, released from heaven's line of authority, yields all our hearts have ever desired. I think this is the lesson for the set from the 70 little old me's that returned that day. So what is that line of authority again from heaven to earth? Okay, number one, true authority, I think we saw in what we've read so far, is only entrusted to those with enough humility to wield it. You guys remember, how many remember that old movie, Bruce Almighty? Remember old Bruce Almighty? He was kind of, if I remember it correctly, he was kind of bummed out at all the things happening in the world, you know, all the natural disasters and everything. And so in the film, he gets to talk to God, and God ends up, it's like, all right, you think you can do better? Then here you go. You know, give it your best shot. And it's like the earth almost comes off its axis. I mean, it's just complete mayhem when Bruce is in charge. You know, and I thought, honestly, if I were to go back and I could listen to an audio of my own prayer life, I might sound like Bruce a little bit for my world. In other words, sometimes like that old country song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers, right? How many people like prayed incessantly about something and it didn't happen? And at the moment you thought, there is no God. You know, like, God, why have you forsaken me? But then down the road you look back like, oh God, thank you. Your sovereign mercy did not answer my prayer. You know, that seems silly maybe, and maybe that was a silly situation, but you got to understand that sometimes, you know, how many know you could be praying for like this job, and you feel like this is the perfect job. I mean, it's more money, it's the best situation, and you don't get it. And you feel like, oh my gosh, what is going wrong in my life? Why did I not get this? But the Father is up there in His sovereignty, knowing the beginning from the end and saying, I can know that this job is not the job. You know, I've got something else or what? That's just one of countless examples, right? So just realize that God in His sovereignty has orchestrated our steps. So we don't need to look at God in our prayer life like Bruce. It's not that we don't ask for specifics. I think we do. But it's just that He knows. So when we're looking to God for kingdom authority, we're coming to Him from a place of trusting in His sovereignty, trusting in the maturation process in all of our lives. Because here's one thing, like, T, you mentioned that word about Billy Graham, or, you know, take any of the great men and women of ministry. It's like I heard T.D. Jakes' youth pastor say one time, don't judge my breakthrough till you see my been through. I heard T.D. Jakes talk about many people like, Bishop Jakes, how do I get your anointing? He's like, well, do you want to walk through what I've been through? You know, it's like, be careful what you ask for. I guarantee you, Billy Graham and every other powerful minister of the gospel has paid a very, very high price to have the spiritual authority that they have. So while I might think that would be cool if I could just go out and walk down Franklin Street today and like, Bill, you know, like everything, you know, like the whole world. That would be cool on some levels, but what price am I personally willing to pay for that kind of spiritual authority? Am I willing for knocks at my door at 3 a.m.? I literally saw, I'll never forget, in 2001, we went on a mission trip to Zimbabwe, and there was this Nigerian evangelist there named Charles Indefone. And I'll never forget this guy as long as I live. Byron was on that trip. He can tell you. This guy walked in such authority that literally, like, while we were there, he went to this AIDS ward in a hospital and emptied it. Like literally, I've never been around in an atmosphere like this. We would be at the hotel restaurant, and people would be driving up outside, hearing that he was there and coming in. My loved ones out here in the car, will you please come pray for them? I mean, it must have been the closest thing I personally ever seen to the way Jesus' life was. You know what I'm saying? Like, he couldn't get a spare moment. I mean, it's just, you know, it kind of irritated his disciples. Like, can you just send them away to go to Bojangles, Lord? And he's like, no, you give them some chicken and some fries, you know? And like, wait, what? Come on, man, we're really tired. The point is that kingdom authority is only going to be entrusted to those who have the humility to receive it. Not just the time inconvenience, but saying, you know what? I'm not an expert here. And I see that Jesus in that passage was really excited that the Father in his sovereignty chose to lend that authority to the little old me 70, you know, as they went out. And he was so, I think part of his Holy Spirit joy was also naturally that it's almost like, I just imagine if you could see that 70, that group of 70, you would be like, really, them? Like, these are the least likely people to be used like they were just used. And he's kind of laughing like, you're showing all the intellectual elite, God. You're showing them because they think they know it all. But these guys over here are actually doing it. Yeah. You see? Wow. I hope you're encouraged by that. Yeah. I am. Because I don't consider myself to be like of the elite of the elite of the best and the best out there in the world standards. But I also take a lot of courage from like Peter and John when they're like, wait a second, who are these guys? They didn't go to, you know, Jerusalem University with multiple level PhDs. Like, how do they know? Like, wait a second. Weren't those guys with Jesus? Oh, yeah. That's where it's at. Mm-hmm. It's that gentle humility just to get low and be willing to just be a humble servant. I think those are the people. Because here's the thing, guys. I really believe that there's a generation, and I think it could be ours, that he really wants to entrust with a heavy, heavy authority. Bob Jones, you know, the prophet, before he passed, he would come to our church regularly in Mooresville for probably the last 10 or 15 years of his life. And if he said this once, he said it a million times. He would say, what you say is what you're going to get. And he talked about the silver bridle. Anybody ever hear Bob talk about the silver bridle? Well, you never remember James's bridle, the tongue, who can bridle the tongue. That's what he's talking about. He just keep emphasizing the importance of, I think, what's that, Proverbs 18, the power of life and death is in the tongue. Yeah. What you say is what you're going to get. And I think the Lord is trying to prepare us as the people for something. Is the importance in the end times of the kingdom authority God wants to entrust even to our tongue. Right? How many people are ready for that? I'm glad you didn't raise your hand because I'm not raising mine. There's just way too much that flows out of here, you know? And again, I think you hear my heart. This is a grace thing. Don't feel condemned at all. That's not Papa's heart. He's faithful and he's going to get us there. He is maturing his bride. Yeah. You know, he will bring us in. I'm not preaching this to get you to go home and, you know, pull yourself up by your spiritual bootstraps and do better. You know, that's not the point. But it's just that God does. It's like, God, envision our hearts for what you want to do. Yeah. Here's another one in Luke 10. This is in prior to the one I just read up in verse 19. Now you understand, he said to the 12, that I have imparted to you. No, I'm sorry, to the 70. I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. Wait, is that right? Did I read that wrong?
No.
Oh, okay. Something about that translation to trample over his kingdom. Oh, I'm sorry, Satan's kingdom. Yeah. Sorry, that's the sleep deprivation is getting to me.
Yeah, that's right, a small K.
You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Come on. Get this. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority. I mean, do you believe that that's possible? Like, absolutely nothing can harm you. Nothing can harm you. Because God wants us to walk in authority.
Amen. That's good.
However, your real source of joy isn't merely that these spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. This is the true source of your authority. See, number two, your authority is rooted in your identity. That way, he gets all the glory. If you could note, maybe learn some mistakes of the great men and women from the past. If there were, I'm sure there were some. If they were here, they could probably tell us so that they could help us. Is that sometimes in the past, when a level of glory came upon the people of God, pride, insecurity, jealousies, all that stuff, even the great Azusa Street thing got completely derailed by jealousy and power. You know, and that stuff would get in, and before long, it's more about, like, truthfully, our kingdom rather than his. And, you know, all of that, though, is rooted really in a lack of identity. You know what I mean? Because it's just, when you're comfortable in your own skin, I hope that Sarah out-preaches me next Sunday. You know, like seriously, like I'm just saying as an illustration. As a pastor, I want every one of you to do whatever I'm doing and to the nth degree better. Like that's the goal. Like that's where we're going with this. That's what we want to happen. We want our kids to outshine anything we could ever dream of doing, right? We don't want to just hang on to this little position or this little piece of authority. We want this thing to go on to grow.
That's right.
And I think that's what Jesus was trying to say is like, okay, guys, that is cool. Like what you guys just did is cool. But remember, the coolest miracle ever is that you're saved. Like the greatest authority is that is that you belong. Isn't that the way that was worded there?
Yeah.
These spirits submit to your authority, but that your names are written in the journals of heaven and that you belong to God's kingdom. You belong. You belong. We belong. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like we belong.
Yeah.
I think probably the greatest thing when we cross over into heaven is going to not be necessarily all the sights, sounds, and loved ones, but it's going to be the unconditional love that radiates from all the light that's Jesus. That's going to be like, you belong. Welcome. I've known you all along. My boy, my girl. I'm so happy about you. You know, but sometimes the devil makes us think, even if he can't keep us out of heaven, he's going to make us think of like, oh, well, you might barely squeak into a half-closed gate in the pearly gates. And when you do, your mansion is going to be a shack like on the outskirts because you just weren't quite measuring up. I'm going to tell you, that's a lie.
Yeah.
I believe that's a lie. You know, I don't have all that figured out, but I'm just saying like the greatest is that your name is written in the book. That you belong. Your authority is rooted in your identity. Back in Luke 8, I'm sort of jumping backwards in Luke, but there's another place where he said, this is Luke 8, 24. So the disciples woke Jesus up. You guys know this when they're in the boat, right? In the storm. And said, Master, Master, we're sinking. Don't you care that we're going to drown? He said, with great authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and surging waves, and instantly they stopped and became as smooth as glass. Then Jesus said to them, "Why are you fearful? Have you lost your faith in me?" Shocked and shaken, they said with amazement to one another, "Who is this man who has authority over winds and waves?" That they obey him. Number three, spiritual authority is based on confidence. That's what you were getting, Chris. It's based on confidence. It's not cockiness. It's not arrogance. Again, that would be against humility. It's a humble confidence. Because you know who you are, there's the identity, that nothing is impossible for those who become like little children and believe. Even literally, I learned this from Chuck here about weather. Did you know that you possess authority through Christ to take authority over even weather? And I saw Chuck do this a number of times, and I never thought about doing it. Like, oh, really? That never dawned on me. maybe you guys did it. I don't know. I missed it somehow. I'm like, well, that's a really interesting thing. You know, I'm going to try that. And I'll never forget Judah's first T-ball season. He was 5 years old, and he was so disappointed. Because, you know, anybody play baseball and you look outside and there's a storm coming. Like, oh, man, I'm not going to get to play ball today. So we're driving down the road on our way to Salisbury to play ball. And I'm like, well, Judah, let's just pray. And when I just, almost like Jesus, I mean, just very, didn't know how to pray exactly. And we just said, I just command these clouds to part right now. And it's like that storm hit everywhere except for that T-ball field. You know, has anybody ever done that? I remember another example on the beach. That's the other big disappointment. How many people ever go for a vacation to the beach and it's raining? Oh, man, come on. Is there even a God up there? Like, why are you punishing me like this? I've only got a day or two, you know. And we were standing out there and we just, I was like, all right, kids, come on. We took authority. And I mean, literally, I kid you not. Like the clouds over our beach parted and these rays of sunshine came down and we just enjoyed the rest of the day, you know? And it's like, well, our adult, sophisticated, scientific minds say, well, there's another explanation for that. And of course, there probably may be another explanation. But unless you, if you become like a little kid, you'd be, could you even be silly enough to believe that Papa could care about your beach day or about your son's T-ball game? You know? Well, let's take that and put that on every other scenario in your life. Like the smallest to the biggest, Papa cares. Didn't Jesus say, hey, listen, if he cares about the lily who he clothes, the lily of the field, or that little bird on your, you know, your bird feeder out back, he clothes them. He feeds them. Do you not think that he would care about you much more than that? Get rid of worry and anxiety. I'm paraphrasing. Those things are from hell. You know, just send those back to hell where they belong. God is going to take care of you in the remotest detail. Okay, so if you factor in all those teachings of Jesus that I know you've probably read on your worst days, right? The days when you're fearful and not knowing how you're going to pay something. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Okay, factor that in, though, to the context of what we're talking about today. You see, the way, it's not an isolated passage. You don't just overcome fear and anxiety just by quoting the scripture of Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom. No, wait. If your identity is not rooted in him, okay, if your pride has not been laid down, in other words, what I'm seeing here, the Lord's showing me, is there's a funnel from heaven to earth for kingdom authority. It starts with humility, right? It funnels through becoming like a little child and all these things, and then all these things begin to be added. All right. I hope you guys are all right. In Luke 7, this is the last verse. This is, I think I read this last week. It's from when the Roman centurion, he needed his servant healed. And Jesus was going to come, I think, to his house and pray for this Gentile. And but the Roman guy stopped him and said, wait a second, unlike you, Jesus, I am just an ordinary man. This is Luke 7, 8. Yet I understand the power of authority, and I see that authority operating through you. I have soldiers under me who obey my every command. I also have authorities over me whom I likewise obey. So, Master, just speak the word and healing will flow. That just seems so simple, doesn't it? You know, it says, who said it? It's not the scriptures that I don't understand that mess me up. It's the ones that I do understand. Yeah. Okay. And then there's that other passage which says, just pray. And when you pray, whatever you ask in my name, it will be done. Like, well, it's not exactly my experience. Yeah. Well, it is your experience if you go back through this funnel from heaven to earth, like what I'm talking about. Remember Bruce Almighty. Remember, thank God for unanswered prayers. In that context, it does become our experience because we're all growing. And as we grow, we learn how to pray in accordance with what the Father heart of God is showing us to pray. So, number four, this is the last thing. Spiritual authority operates according to the principle of authority. Here's what the principle of authority is based on this scripture. Say what the Father says and you'll get what the Father does. Say what the Father says, and you'll get what the Father does. I've realized a lot of the reason that we don't walk in spiritual authority sometimes is because we're basing it off of something besides relationship. Yep. We're basing it off of principles that we've heard. They may be true principles, but is it God for now? Okay. To illustrate, remember the boy that came, or the dad that brought his child, and he was demonized, and his disciples, Jesus' disciples, couldn't get him free, and he was kind of frustratedly brought him to Jesus. It's like, you're 12, they couldn't get my boy free. Will you please do something here? And later Jesus teaches. Okay, so have you ever felt that way? Maybe it's not with a demonized person, but just in general, like, I don't know what the disconnect here. In other words, what's the lack? The lack is, I need a greater understanding of spiritual authority. Well, what Jesus taught them was, this only comes out how? Two things, right? Prayer. What's prayer? Primarily, it's communication with the Father. Okay? Let's take this religious spin off of it. I don't think Jesus was saying, okay, boys, what your problem is you missed your quiet time this morning. And besides that, only if you pray 4 hours begging and pleading on your knees beside your bed in this position will this happen for you. No, what Jesus is saying is your problem is a problem of relationship. You need to have greater connection in hearing the, just like I can only do what I see the Father doing, it works the same way with you. And by the way, fasting. Whenever you deny your natural flesh something, it automatically heightens your spiritual awareness. This is just a gift that's been given to you. You see what I'm saying? So spiritual authority operates according to the principle of relationship. Like Bob said, you're going to get what you say. We construct what we think about. We become what we say. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 18:21. All right, so everybody said either praise God or oh me. Yeah. You guys stand up with me. Let's pray and just ask God to help us here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that you are the source of all kingdom authority. Lord, I pray right now for each person in this room, Lord, that I thank you that you've removed the clogs of unforgiveness in our hearts this morning. God, I pray that you would just break down any spiritual pride that we might be walking in. We just break off pride right now. Lord, we just humble our hearts before you. We just ask you to remove that, Lord. Thank you, Papa, that we're your son, we're your daughter this morning. God, I just ask you for the mantle of your identity to come upon us this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would unlock the revelation of our relationship with the Father this morning, God. We thank you for these things. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. We bless you. We thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week. If anybody needs prayer, love to pray for you. So, amen.